From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. This week, the U.S. Department of Transportation released new autonomous vehicle policy recommendations. Autonomous vehicles don't rule the road just yet, but functionalities from lane changes in a Tesla to autopilot parking in an Audi are becoming more and more common. The U.S. DOT wants all of this to go smoothly for car travelers without getting in the way of innovation, so the department is moving to formalize data sharing between companies and the federal government in certain cases. Aaron Steinfeld is associate research professor in Carnegie Mellon University's Robotics Institute, and he has researched autonomous vehicles. Aaron, thanks for talking with us.
You're welcome.
What data is collected in the autonomous vehicle process? A ton, right?
Yes, a ton. Each community collects their own data in their own way. Each system typically has custom software, and most researchers and most developers want to collect as much data as they can so they can understand what happens during each unusual event.
And where is it stored?
So in most research vehicles, the data is stored on the vehicle and then converted to some other form and transported to another location. Each company is somewhat proprietary about how the data is stored and where it is stored.
Which is really interesting because we have from these federal recommendations the idea that companies should really be sharing their data about autonomous vehicles and how they're working and the systems they're using.
So the information that USDOT has requested people consider sharing is specific to events where there's a fatality or personal injury or some sort of damage that requires the vehicle to be towed. This is actually similar to some of the data that's already stored in conventional vehicles and retrieved by accident reconstructors to sort out what's happened.
Do you think it's fair to say that the government has been surprised at how fast some of this stuff has been implemented?
Well, to the average listener, it might seem very fast. To those of us in the field, it has been going on for quite a while. Autonomous vehicle research goes back to the 80s.
Sure.
But I don't think the USDOT is surprised. As is apparent in this document, there is some expectation that there'll be some novelty, some innovation, and they're trying to avoid being too prescriptive on exactly what they want.
What's it like to be in a self-driving car?
So it's one of those things where you really do need to experience it because it is slightly different than the way a human drives. When you or I drive down the middle of a road, we'll often weave a little bit in the lane. It's hard for us to stay exactly down the lane. Well, an autonomous vehicle can be much more precise, very smooth, and usually very mechanical. Sometimes it feels a little bit like a train without metal wheels clacking against the rails.
Aaron Steinfeld is associate research professor in Carnegie Mellon University's Robotics Institute. Aaron, thank you very much for talking to me.
You're welcome.
There are four areas of the world that have been called blue zones by scientists. Blue zones are places where longtime residents have a life expectancy that is far and away above everybody else. For decades, scientists have been studying the genes of residents in one of these blue zones, Sardinia, Italy, building data sets which include actual DNA samples from residents. These data troves are increasingly valuable to drug companies that want to make miracle drugs and sell them to people who don't have the luck of coming from a blue zone. Not all the residents in Sardinia are comfortable with this because they have given this data and DNA for free. Stephanie Kirschgassner is Rome correspondent for The Guardian and has been reporting this. Stephanie, thanks for joining us. Tell me about these data sets.
The reason these are seen as valuable is because scientists want to know, why are people in these towns in Sardinia living so long? Is there a magic gene that, if we discovered it, could help other people live really long lives?
So all of this information on the local citizens has been collected over a long period of time and is now being sold. How much was it sold for, and did the people know that it was going to be sold?
Well, now this is really the heart of the story. One of the databases was sold for 258,000 euros to a British company called Tiziana Life Sciences, which is a biotech company based in London.
Uh-huh.
You know, 258,000 doesn't sound like a whole lot of money when you compare it to the fact that Amgen, the American biotech company, bought an Icelandic database for $400 million some years ago.
What did the citizens who gave their DNA say about this?
So in terms of, you know, the people, the reason this deal has been so controversial is that, and what the locals will say is, hey, we agreed to donate our blood for the good of research and, you know, to also in some ways put their towns on the map. And we never consented to sell it to a for-profit pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, why was this data sold to begin with? It was sold because the company that managed this database and that helped collect this data went bust.
The challenge of mixing business, tech, and research, I guess. Stephanie Kirsch-Gassner is Rome correspondent for The Guardian and has been reporting on this story. Stephanie, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And you heard about the ruling from the EU last month saying that Apple had to pay $14.5 billion in unpaid taxes to Ireland. Well, Apple and Ireland dispute that ruling, but the EU regulator behind that ruling, Competition Commissioner Margrethe Vestager, now says that other U.S. firms may be about to get some mail they won't like either. Amazon's already under investigation. Some think that Google, Microsoft, and Facebook may also be targeted in unpaid taxes. Don't know if Gmail has a filter for very, very, very bad news about your tax issues, but maybe they're working on it. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.